I'll repeat the question for you. When listing the nine identifying things about the beast, you had listed 1260 days, but you really didn't clarify what that was. What is it? Thank you for asking that question. I meant to be clearer on that. I guess I got kind of sidetracked. When we were looking at Revelation, we were talking about the beast and this time period of 1260 days. Now, remember we said before in prophetic study that a day is equal to a year. And if you recall, I mentioned that the Emperor of Rome gave the papacy its power to correct heretics, and it officially began to do so in the year 538 A.D. Jot that date down, 538 A.D. I also mentioned that Napoleon Bonaparte sent General Berthier into Rome, arrested the Pope, took him prisoner, and the Pope died in prison in France. And that was in the year 1798. Subtract 538 from 1798, and what does it come up with? 1260 years. That was the time, in that time period, when the papacy ruled supremely and unchecked as corrector of heretics. And this was the time of the Inquisition. This is the time of the Crusades and all these other events that took place in history. Now also, I want you to remember that we said that the deadly wound it received would heal. And in 1929, Benito Mussolini and the papacy signed a treaty, or a concordat it was called, that restored Vatican City as a political entity and as a state, and granted it power to receive ambassadors from all different nations. And as a result, from that time on, it's been growing in power. So the wound that it suffered in 1798, in 1929, that deadly wound started to heal, and now we find that it is growing in influence worldwide. We have reason to believe from the prophecy that the papacy will continue to grow in influence until just before the time of Jesus coming. Okay, question number two. All right. Mary, you sent me back to the history books. Okay. The question was, when did the Crusades happen? And Obama blamed Christians. Was he wrong? Remember, a little while ago, he started to rebuke Christians for speaking out against the Muslims. First off, let me answer the first part of this. We need to realize that the apostasy of Christianity from biblical religion in the Middle Ages led to the rise of Islam. There's a connection there. Because Christianity from 538 on began to become so corrupt that there was a counter reaction in the Arab world, and up came Muhammad in the 600s, and before long he began to spread. Remember, I mentioned that after the fall of Rome there were five holy sees, and one by one they began to fall to the Muslims. We find that Jerusalem, Antioch of Syria, Constantinople, what was the other one? Oh yeah, Alexandria, Egypt, and Rome were the five holy sees. And one by one, the Muslims began to take them over. In the year 638 AD, which is 100 years after the rise of papal supremacy, Jerusalem fell to the Muslims. It was the part of, there was a cry from the Christians in that area to try to gain it back to Christianity. And Pope Urban II at the Council of Clermont encouraged Christian knights and warriors to reclaim Jerusalem from the Muslims. That was in the year 1095 AD. And thus the first crusade to regain Jerusalem was launched in 1096 through 1099 AD. They succeeded and they set up King Baldwin I as the king of Jerusalem in the year 1100 through 1118. And we find that in 1147 through 48, a second crusade was launched since the Muslims began to regain power in that area and Jerusalem fell again. And so we find that in 1147-48, the second crusade was launched. This ended in failure. And the Muslims won, the Christians lost. So a third crusade was again resurrected in 1189, and that continued to 1192. But that too failed. Then came the fourth crusade. That was in 1202, and it went through to 1204, but it too fell short. A lot of people may not have heard this one before, but in 1212 was the Children's Crusade, when children from all over Europe banded together and they started to march to Jerusalem to retake the city. This was under Pope Gregory the ninth in 1227. Well, I got to back up there because that date I gave you, it said 1228 to 1221. That's going backwards. I think those dates are reversed. Anyway, this became a problem because a lot of these kids never got to Jerusalem. They got as far as Constantinople. They got as far as Alexandria, Egypt, and they were sold into slavery. They were killed. They were abused, and as a result, that failed too. We find that in 1291, it was before 1291. I think it was the one in 1221, the Children's Crusade. We find that the Emperor Frederick II was leading this. He fell ill, and as a result, he couldn't continue. Because of this, Pope Gregory IX excommunicated him and said that he just was a coward and lacked the stamina to make the crusade a success. And then in 1291 was the last of the Latin holdings, and it fell. And when it fell, that ended the crusades. Now, during this time period, there were many atrocities and needless bloodshed on to Christians, Muslims, and Jews, as well as children. The Crusades have been forgotten by modern Christians. I mean, that's past as far as we're concerned. But we need to realize that it's very much alive in the minds of the Muslims and Jews today. As a result, they resented Billy Graham referring to his evangelistic meetings as crusades for Christ, you see. Because in their minds, it pictures destruction. And so the word crusades, don't use that with Muslims or Jews, because you're going to have a counter-reaction to it. The terminology sparks immediate and strong reaction on both religions. When Christians were being slain by Islamic radicals in the Middle East recently, and an evangelical and papal cry went up to the United States to protect Christians, President Obama replied by reminding them of the Crusades, which they resented. Historically, the president may have been correct, although he failed to mention that the Muslims during these crusades also committed all kinds of atrocities. He failed to mention that. And he came across as defending the present murders of Christians and Jews by Muslims, and he didn't get across the point that those who were doing these kind of things did not represent the gospel of Christ at all. This is apostate religion that did this. It must be remembered that the atrocities of the past, as well as those of the present, were committed by apostate religion. They neither represent the teachings nor the character of Christ or the Bible. They were and are the actions of Satan acting in the name of religion. Forced religion is always bad religion, no matter who commits it, Muslims, Christians, or Jews. And Christ is blasphemed by those who commit these atrocities in his name, regardless of how religious they may sound. So, Mary, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I'll get more on it if you wish. I check several sources on these. The question, if the tribulation, the 7 years, has happened already, will there still be an increase in earthquakes, floods, and other awful events? The great tribulation that's mentioned in Matthew 24, 21 through 22, refers to the persecutions of Rome, both pagan and Christian Rome, during the early Middle Ages. There is no seven-year period mentioned in that. However, the 1,260 years that's found in Revelation 12, 6 are included in that prophecy that Jesus made. It covers that time period as well. Yes, we have scriptural reason to believe that natural disasters will continue to increase right up until the time Jesus comes. Matter of fact, when Jesus comes, there will be a great earthquake like we haven't experienced yet. There is also a time of tribulation that's coming to the believers at the end time as the Babylonian beast power regains its former power and authority to impose religious laws using the sword of the state to enforce his will. We'll learn more about that when we deal with the subject of the mark of the beast. So I hope those answer your questions. Before we begin, I want to mention that for those who weren't here, or those who didn't turn it in, on your table is a survey sheet. This is to see what your preference would be for upcoming seminars. And some I'm going to hold down in Cotchville, some I'm going to hold here in Midland, and there are some other churches that would like to have some too. But you'll see there a list of different seminars. Whatever nights are available, whatever times are available, let me know, and I will do my best to try to accommodate. It was interesting, as I went over, I had 8 of them turned in, and as I went over them, the ones that seemed to have the highest interest was the Hebrew seminar. And so we may move into a Hebrew seminar. But if you want the Daniel seminar, the Advanced Revelation, Grief Recovery, and Preaching seminar also got a good response. History of the Sabbath, the Book of Hebrews, or the Gospel of John, check it on there because this is your opportunity to help tell me which ones get priority, okay? And different ones will be offered in different locations on different nights, and I hope by Monday to get you a schedule. I'm trying to get input from the other site locations too. Okay? So please let us know.